Welcome tonight. Excited to have you here. We have these KFC buckets. We're going to go ahead and pass these at this time. And any donations that go in there is going to go directly to our ministries in the Philippines. If you're visiting with us, just let those things pass. That's not for you. Super excited about a new series that we're going to be jumping into. How do I introduce the theme of this? Maybe the first thing to say is to explain to you that I am a blessed man. And I have many people that I think look at my life from the outside and they say, man, Pete's just living the dream. And you know what? I am. I'm living the dream. And we're entitling this series, Living the Dream. I got a little feedback. I don't know if you guys can hear that or not, but maybe you don't hear it, but I do, and it's going to probably drive me crazy. Living the dream. And what I think is usually misunderstood by people is that when they look at my life, I think as we look at some people's lives, they just feel like they're living the dream. I feel like there's an unfair tag that's put on that person. Like it was just all handed to them. And I think to some degree, I mean, there's no question, I've have more grace in my life than I deserve. But I also did a lot of hard things throughout my life to get to this point. And I'm not saying that to take credit for that. I'm saying that because I believe that there's a bit of a formula that we all have to understand. To live the dream, you're going to need to pay some dues. That's what I'm saying. And for me, I had to pay some dues. For me, I had to go through a few things. I had to bury my oldest daughter in the Philippines, who was born hair prematurely. And I had to raise countless numbers of support, money, over the years. I've had to have numerous conversations with people that I didn't want to have. And I come to this point in my life where I feel like, man, it is so good to live the dream. And I want you to live the dream. And so much of the joy that I get being a part of a campus ministry is that I have opportunity and excitement to pour into you because I know that you have much of a clean slate and you're freaked out about the future. All of you are. And I get that. And I want to help you with that. And I want to guide you through that. And I want to help you live the dream. And so this next numerous number of weeks, I don't know, 3, 4, or 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the life of Joseph, who was a dreamer. And pulling some truths from his life about what it is to live the dream. I want you to live the dream, but I'm going to tell you right now, right out of the bat, right off the bat, right out of the gate. There we go. It's hard. It is hard. And there's more than likely there are things in your life that you're going to have to decide to do that are going to be against the grain to live the life and the dream that God has for you in your life. I talked to a student numerous years ago, I don't know how long ago, probably 10, 12 years ago. And I remember sitting down with him, and there was this girl that was not a believer that he was dating for a long time. And there was this career path that he was choosing, both of which were really conflicting, I believe, with what God had planned for him or what God had the big macro plan for him. And I had a meeting with him. It was a hard meeting because I wanted what's best for him. And so I sat down face to face with him and I said, Greg, I want to ask you, I got to tell you something. And it's going to be hard. The things I'm going to ask you to do are going to be hard. And I loved his response. He looked me back in the eyes, I mean, dead on in the eyes. He was a baseball player at the time. He's one of those guys that kind of, you know, he's an athlete. He's like, yeah, give me something, give me a challenge. I said, well, I'm going to give you a real challenge. You know, these are the dreams that you had for yourself that you thought were what God had for you, or you had for yourself. And I sat down. I said, it's going to be hard. And I remember him looking back in my eyes, and he said this. He says, I'm not afraid of hard. I'm afraid of wrong. I mean, if there's a theme tonight about choosing the right dream, that's where we're going to start tonight. If you're going to live the dream, you got to get the right dream. If you're going to live the dream that's put out there, you got to find the right dream. And there's a lot of dreams out there. And I want us to kind of narrow in tonight on what the right dream is. And if you want to find the right dream, I'm telling you, it's going to be hard. There's going to be some hard things you're going to have to wrestle with. And I'm just asking you tonight, what do you value more? Hard or wrong? Which one are you more scared of? I guess we don't value either of those, but what are you more scared of? Are you more scared of wrong, or are you more scared of hard? Many of you might not know the story of Joseph. I think we'll be able to tell more of the fullness of the story as weeks go on, but I think all we need to know tonight is the beginning part of Joseph's story. We're going to read that together, so let's take a look. This is from Genesis 37. It says that Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, in the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's line. So Jacob was Joseph's dad. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks, and his brothers and the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he had made an ornate robe for him. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. He had 11 brothers. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up, stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine, and they bowed down to it. I don't know why his brothers hated him. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule over us? And then they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Let's keep going. And then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Come on, Joseph, let's get a little bit quicker on the uptake here. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in hand. Let's finish the story. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But then they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. So there's a little bit that's taken place in between what I just read and where we're at. Basically, his brothers were out working, and Jacob said, hey, I want you to go greet your brothers, bring them some food. He says, here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of those cisterns, this deep well, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him, and then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Okay? This is going to be a little bit hard. I don't want you guys to, like, look at Joseph's life and say, this is exactly how it parallels to my life, because God had a very specific plan for those dreams in Joseph's life to birth out the kingdom of Israel. okay? So there's a very specific reason, and he's put these in. This is God's sovereign plan. And I think it would be dangerous of us to all assume that we had an equal sovereign plan that God has put into you to dream a certain dream. I think it's dangerous for us to make these applications. But there are things that we need to learn from this story. Now, there's a few things about this story that I think we can chalk up to Joseph just being young, and maybe the 17 in him was coming out, right? Hey, guys, I got a dream I'd like to tell you. Where did that dream come from? As this story goes on, it will become very, very clear that this dream came directly from the Lord. And we just came out of a series, and then we entered into a time where Phil talked last week about missions, where we have very thoroughly understood that God's got a dream for the world. It's to make disciples. It's for people like you and I in Jesus to be intentional with other people, to be intentionally loving and encouraging, asking hard questions throughout the nations, throughout the world. And last week we had this opportunity, you know, presented, say, hey, if you want to go overseas, let's do that. We have so much interest that we are scrambling and thinking of other opportunities for you because you guys are so excited about doing missions. God's doing something and stirring within this. I don't want to squelch that, so stay tuned because we have some other things maybe in the works. So understand that that is God's dream. God's dream is a big dream. So if you guys could picture a big tent, okay? Let's just say Capen. This big room, this cavernous room, is God's will. God has all kinds of opportunities of benefit and glory for himself that comes in this room, okay? And so there's all kinds of opportunities for you to find your dream within his dream in this room. There are also opportunities for you outside of this room. There are opportunities where you might want to say, you know what, this whole kingdom thing, this whole God thing, this whole realm of surrendering to God and his dream and being a disciple maker wherever I am, whether I'm a fireman or whether I'm a teacher or whether I'm a campus minister, doesn't matter. You can be all those things in this room, but some of you have the option, all of us have the option of selecting a dream that's not anywhere within God's realm, but outside of this room that's just gonna be your own dream, where you can be king of your own little world, but it's very little. And so the first thing I want to talk about being, if we're going to pick the right dream, we have to find out whose dream we're going to live. And I have seen people that have made mistakes in this realm so often because I think people end up really going one extreme or the other. Some people go to this far extreme where they say, you know what? God has saved me, and therefore I am going to save the world for God. I'm God's man. I'm God's woman. And there's this extreme of where we really feel like we are all that. And there is the other extreme of people within God's realm or within God's room or in God's tent that say, you know what, God's just going to take care of everything as it is anyway, so I'm just a pawn, and I'm just going to, like, sit. And the more I can kind of, like, suffer, probably the better it's going to be. Like, I know that God's kind of, I've had these dreams of maybe wanting to do this or that, or I have these exciting opportunities before me, but it's like, no, that sounds too fun. I think I might just sit home and do Bible Pictionary and, like, really get myself focused because this is probably where God wants me. I think that there is a balance, but make no mistake, we have to be, if you're going to have a fulfilling dream, it has to be God's dream. It has to fall within this tent, within this room. There is so much opportunity within this place. So where's your dream coming from? This is where it might get hard. Where's your dream coming from? Is your dream to be a teacher because your mom always said you'd make a great teacher? Is it your mom's dream, if you're really honest? Do you find yourself thinking, daydreaming, just longing for a guy? Is this your dream? I mean, that's natural. And there, believe me, there's room for that in this room. God wants you guys to meet. He does. But I have often seen people that are so desperate for that they just like leave the room. And maybe that dream that you think has been put there by God has really been put there not by God, but maybe by Disney. You know? Are you living Disney's dream? Are you living your mom's dream? Are you living, maybe it's your dream? And I want us to be clear that God's dreams can, God's realm can be big. And so I think that's all I'm going to say about that. Whose dream? The second thing, if you're following with me, I've got three things that are going to help you determine the right dream. First is, let's make sure you're in God's will. Let's make sure you're in God's tent. Let's make sure you're in God's plan. The second thing is, I think, a lot more specific. And this is where I really want you to feel okay about God putting something in your heart. When there's the talk of little kids come up and something stirs within you and you just know that that's a part of your future, let that go. I mean, I'm talking about fan that flame. Okay, that's what I mean. Fan that flame. I don't know what other things might really stir within you. I mean, if the talk of finance really gets you excited and you just want to, you know, you just want to, I don't know, do some math problems or something, hey, that's okay. God said, I got room for you in this room to do that. And it doesn't have to just be a minister. Like, God really has room for all of these. That's what I love about being on a secular campus. Like, I'm not preaching to a Bible college crowd. You guys have opportunity to be the kingdom, to be dreamers, to live the dream in a variety of different outlets. And so I want you to listen to what God is doing in your heart in that regard. That tell you how that happened for me a little bit. I was going to Michigan State University. I was really into the campus ministry. I got to go overseas for a year and on a mission trip. Did something very similar to what you guys did last week. Signed up, said, "Hey, I want to go," and I just did it. Took a year off school, and I was a minister for a year. And I came back, and I really felt almost weird about wanting to do campus ministry. And I know a lot of you are like, "Well, Pete, that just fits you." I was like, "Yeah, I know. Like, that's all I've done for the last 18, 20 years." But at that time, I was like you. And it was almost hard for me to say, I want to be a campus minister, because it just sounded like my fifth grade daughter coming home saying, I want to grow up and be a fifth grade teacher. You know, it's like, while I was in campus ministry, of course that's what I wanted to do. But I know that God was stirring something within me to do campus ministry. And I didn't know what to do with that. I thought it sounded kind of corny for me to want to do that, to the point where I wouldn't say it out loud. And I want you to notice that Joseph, in this story, he shares his dreams out loud. I'm not sure he did it in the right way. I'm not sure maybe the timing was great. I mean, he was 17. We're not sure about all of his, the exact way he did it was awesome. But he shared his dream. And I remember the guy I looked up to greatly, campus minister at the time. And he made the sermon, and he was talking about doing ministry, and he was talking about doing ministry overseas, and he was talking about doing campus ministry. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I want to do that. And he says, and we can't all be campus ministers, right? That's what some of you are thinking. We can't all be campus ministers. And then he stopped and he said, why not? And I thought, logically, I know not everyone's going to be, but it gave me permission in that little sermon for me to want to be a campus minister. And I remember after that, I remember talking to some people and saying, I know it sounds kind of weird, but I kind of like the thought of doing campus ministry. And that didn't sound weird to them. It just sounded weird to me. And the more I started talking and the more I started meeting people, things just started happening, and I started getting opportunities that I won't go into great detail, but I just want you to know that I don't really know if I'd be standing here as a campus minister at Illinois State if I hadn't shared that dream out loud. And some of you guys have some dreams that you just kind of like, maybe you're just a guy and you're just like, I don't talk. Talk. Share a little bit. Open up. Girls, you're like, I think I've shared 19 dreams this week. Like, I know. Keep talking. That's okay. Keep talking. Share these dreams. Talk about these things. I think it's important. So if you're going to find the right dream, number one, whose dream? We got to be. Is that easy? No, it's hard. Are you willing to do hard? The second thing is we got to be willing to talk about this dream. We got to be willing to share our discussion. Is that easy? For some of us, it's pretty easy. For some of us, it's hard. Are you afraid of hard? Or are you afraid of wrong? And then the last thing, and this is just really practical tonight. The last thing is I really think it's important for us to push on doors. I really think it's important to push on doors. Now, this first week, Joseph's just kind of an anomaly. He's just weird. His whole story is just very, very, very weird. He has this story where he feels like God's given him a vision that he is going to rule over his siblings. These 11 guys are going to bow down to him. And it makes them so angry that once they're out away from home, they have plans to kill him. And they throw him down into a well, ready to kill him. And he looks up, and it's like the exact reverse of what he dreamed. The exact reverse is happening, where he's looking up at them. And they're like, your dream's going to come true now? And ready to kill him. And I am sure that in that moment, he thought, this is it. This is over. My life's done. The dream I had must have been wrong. And now this is a permanent, eternal situation that I find myself in. I think there's a lot of this. This is just my experience. You guys feel like bumps in the road are eternal. You feel like the bump that you're hitting up against, the struggle that you're going against right now this week, you feel like it's going to just be there forever. You're like, well, Pete, you don't understand. Like, my major is this and my grades are this. Like, hey, I do understand. This is a big room. There are lots of opportunities and there are lots of doors to knock on. And what happened with Joseph, he didn't exactly knock on doors and like, hey, I'd like to try this, I'd like to try that. He was drug along because God had a specific place for him to go. And what ended up for him is in the middle of that time when he was about to be killed in that well, along come some traders, and his brothers thought, it sounds a little better to make a little money off this guy than it does just to kill him. And so they sell him to these traders. The traders take him to Egypt, and then in Egypt, he gets sold to Potiphar. who happens to be pretty high in charge in Egypt under Pharaoh. And so he takes this winding path that he could have never, ever, ever told you was going to happen, but that's the path he took. And the dream that God had put in him originally ended up becoming true. And we're going to get there as the weeks come. My point is this for all of you guys. You guys have dreams. Some of them are a little bit too complicated for you right now, or a little bit too specific for you right now. And you have got all of your hopes are pinned on this one dream and this one way of getting there. And the reality is, if you interview anybody that's over the age of 40 in a position that you think is exactly where you want to go, and you ask them how they got there, I guarantee 95% of those people are going to say, well, if you would have asked me when I was your age what I was going to be doing, I would have never guessed I would have been where I'm at now. You know that's true. Your mom and dad say that all the time. Well, I never dreamt that I was going to get here. If you would have asked me back then, I wouldn't have been able to tell you. I don't know, God, it just kind of got me here. God kind of got me here. So it's important at the beginning for you to be listening to those dreams, to be listening to those nudges, to be listening to what God has put in your heart and to direct you. And then just start knocking on doors. And you know what? You'll knock on the door and you'll open it up and you'll be like, hey, I just thought it was a silly $8 an hour job at ISU that's all that seemed like it was, but I ended up meeting so-and-so who knows so-and-so, and I'm opening this door. And that door's opening up to this, and boom, I used to think I was going to this corner of the room, now I'm in that corner of the room, and you're going to be 35 years old, and you're going to look back, and you're going to say, I never would have dreamt I would have found myself here, but this is exactly where I feel like I need to be. It's kind of the way it usually works. And I'm not saying quit your major. I'm not saying crazy stuff. But within your major and within what God stirred within you, I am telling you there are doors for you to be knocking on. And as you knock on those doors, you don't know where you're going to find yourself. And I think those three things together it's the best advice that I have to give you tonight. It's a very practical night. Okay? This isn't like some really deep, heavy, like let's get into another zone kind of a thing. This is really practical. Whose dream? Are you within God's will and God's dream? What specifically has come to you, and have you shared it? Have you shared it with anybody? And are you knocking on doors? This is, I think, the pattern in which we're going to end up letting God do the most work through you to get you where he wants you to be. Because this really is all about God. But God's a gracious God that wants you to be fulfilled. And I have known too many people that have done things for other people, and they're living their life miserably. One of them is my sister. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because right now she blames numerous people for where she's at in her life. Because when she was in college, first of all, she went to Bible college and she didn't really want to go to Bible college. But guess whose idea it was? I thought it would be a good idea for her to go to Bible. Mom thought it would be a good idea for her to go to Bible college. So she goes to Bible college, she meets some guy. It seems like it would be a good idea to marry this guy and to go on this route and to do this particular ministry route, all of which were not her ideas. And she looks back and she has bitterness towards those people in her life. And I say, hey, it's her own bed she made. It really is. And I look at her life and I say, hey, you need to own up to the fact that you needed to live according to what God was putting in your heart. And it was, and I think what it really boiled down to was that she was afraid of hard more than she was afraid of right. And I want you guys, I don't know, I don't mean to like scare you with that story, but I want you to know those stories are out there. They're just out there. And I want desperately for you guys to find the right path in which God is going to just bless you to where you're living the dream. Because it's a great life. And I know that he wants that for you. So let's stand up and let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for where you've got us. And you've got us in an awesome place, in an awesome college with awesome opportunities before us. And you are a God that wants what's best for us. And there's so many cool opportunities around the corner for us. And I know, Father, that in this stage of our life, the world is our oyster. And there's so many things that can happen and will happen. And I really believe, God, that part of what you want for us is to examine just even the world. And I'm so excited about the many mission opportunities and the interest that we have for that. And would you help us, Father, to just be people that are thinking of the big picture as well as listening to what's in our heart. And we lift these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.